average human life lasts about 77 years. But the averages, that's what we're told. Some live many years beyond 77, some live many years short of 77. 77 is the average. On the tape measure, one mark for each year. This is the average life laid out in the tape measure. This is your life made of. Well, all these marks before 77, they make up your past. And in the past, we certain things. We make mistakes. And we can learn from these mistakes. I'll use my life as an example. A good bit shorter of 77. Remember, one time I was about five, around mark five, maybe four, I had the wonderful idea of getting on my toy car and driving down the steps. It was a long set of steps. It seemed like a good idea at the time, and I'm thinking that at the top of the steps. So I began descending the steps, and about halfway down I decided it was a bad idea. Made a mistake, but I learned from it. I have not done that since. I've not been tempted to do that since. So in our past, we have periods of growth, not just from learning from mistakes, but we go through trials and tribulations, grow from these. Another example, around mark 17, about 6 or 7 days before I turned 17, my grandfather died. Exactly 1 month after I turned 17, my dad died. It was a period, but I learned a lot. It forced me to grow. I had to step up and take more parts in the church. I probably would not be in front of you speaking today had I not gone through that period of growth, had that not happened to me at age 17. So in our life, we can look back and we have our past. The mistakes we made, the things we've learned from them, and we grow from it. That's the past. The past is gone. There's nothing we can do to change it. So, what do we have? What do we have to work with? Really, all that we have is today. Today is what we know. Today is January the 13th. We are in our mark in life right now. That's all we've got today. And we've got to live each day as it is our last day. So I want you to ask yourself a couple of questions. Today's your last day on earth. What are you going to do? How do you treat today? How much are you going to change from what you normally do? Are you going to start acting a little better? Are you going to be better to other people? Are you going to be a little quieter? Concentrate a little more? Study a little more in the Bible? What are you going to do on your last day on earth that you aren't already doing today? Bottom line, if we died today, would we go to heaven or would we go to hell? If we were to die today, where do we think we would end up? Thought-provoking questions. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 3, we're told, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. When they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." Day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. We can make all these guesses that we want to. I think the world's going to end this day, this time, or after this occurs. Using the comparison about a thief in the night, have you ever been able to say, "Well, I think I'm going to be robbed about a week from now"? We try to prepare our homes, our situations, so that we can handle whatever emergency arises. We've got to prepare our lives that way, too. Because for all we know, there's no tomorrow. We're not given that guarantee. We're not told that that sun will rise tomorrow and that we'll wake up. Matthew 6:31-33, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, these things shall be added unto you. Take home verse out of that passage, Matthew 6:34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We spend a lot of time worrying about tomorrow. We make schedules, we make plans, and we do a lot today that concerns our tomorrow and the days beyond that. But you know what? We don't have those days. Right now, January the 13th, all we have is today. Let's look at a passage from the same chapter, Matthew 6:9-13. You're going to recognize this for sure. It's often called the Lord's Prayer. We hear it a lot. You're in high school or sports. It's a thing the team usually does before the games or after the games. We hear it a lot. And we probably don't recognize a lot of the meanings it has. Not know it, but we'll look at it. When you look through the Lord's Prayer, it lays out a blueprint for us. It tells us the things we need to do to live each day as our last. So let's look at this passage. First, verses 9 through 10. After this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. This day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Catch it. In there, in this passage, blueprint for living each day as our last. Let's look at some specific portions of this. Our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. We forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Okay, first part. Give us this day our daily bread. The first thing that comes to mind is giving thanks for food. And yes, we are extremely blessed that we are able to have food daily. We don't usually concern ourselves thinking with what am I going to eat or where am I going to find something to eat. We've not gone hungry. You know, we may have missed a meal here and there, but we've not really gone truly hungry. But you know, in this passage, I think it also has another application. In John 6:35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. Cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Our daily bread and the bread of life. So Jesus, he's the bread of life, and look at that verse again. Give us this day our daily bread. So, but how do we have Jesus given to us daily? How do we get this daily? Well, look in John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the Word. We've known that. So, once again, give us this day our daily bread. The bread is Jesus. Jesus is the Word. We're to have the Word daily. 2 Timothy 2:15 lays it out for us. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study to show thyself approved. It wasn't a problem in high school, but I know in college that you have to keep up with your course material. You can't really put it off to study. You need to keep up because they're very fond of giving a pop quiz for you. You don't know when it's coming, but you'll get it. And, well, how prepared are you? has not announced the date for when this world is going to end, or for when our time on this earth is going to end. So like a pop quiz, we got to be ready for it. Knowledge, the word, the Bible, B-I-B-L-E, basic information before leaving earth. That's one good way to look at the Bible. That's what it is. Let's look at the next portion of our blueprint. Forgive us our debts. As we mentioned earlier, the past is gone, and, you know, what is there we can do about it? We can't dwell on it. It's gone. It's done. But for those past mistakes, those past sins, we can receive forgiveness for them. And that's a wonderful thing. Because all of us have done something in our past that we're not proud of at all. But what we can do about it today, January the 13th, Sunday, we can get forgiveness for those past sins. In 1 John 1:19, we're told if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And remember, there's the second part to that passage, as we forgive our debtors. This is required. Look at the parable of the ungrateful servant in Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35. That passage is the story about who owed his master a debt, a great debt. It was, if you were to do the figures today in terms of money, it would be, I think it would be near the millions. Huge debt. But the master forgave this servant. Okay, you know, you don't have to pay me your debt. It's forgiven. This servant turns around and he doesn't forgive a fellow servant his debt. He's told, if you want forgiveness for yours, you've got to forgive others. We receive that same stipulation. Matthew 6, 14 through 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. We've had people who have wronged us in some way. Maybe they didn't realize it, but, you know, we have to forgive them. We can't hold a grudge. If you like to end your life with several grudges held against other people, it couldn't be pleasant. We've got to forgive those people if we want forgiveness. And believe me, we want forgiveness. Luke 6, 37 puts it very plainly, judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. The last part of our blueprint, lead us not into temptation. Obvious statement, we're tempted daily. Maybe little subtle things, maybe something big, something we wouldn't like anybody to know about that we're tempted to do or see, hear, say. But we're met with these temptations daily. 1 Timothy 6:9, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. We like to kind of dismiss this verse because it says rich. Think, okay, I really don't have that much money. You know, I don't have an enormous house. I don't drive these extremely expensive cars. I really don't have all this much money. So I'm not rich. I don't fall under that category. It's a nice building. We're comfortable. We have central heating and cooling. We've got padded benches. We've got electricity. I'm going to show you a picture. I'm sure Danny's familiar with this. This is a picture of a congregation in Africa. They don't have pews. They surely don't have central heating and cooling. They sit on these little bricks and hear the word. Look around us and say you're not rich. Very blessed. Fall into that category more than we think. Falling under temptation. James 1, 13 through 15. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So yes, we are tempted. Tempted often. Tempted daily. But we pray to deliver us from evil. I really like this passage right here. I'll show you where. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. That's a wonderful thought. Yes, we're tempted daily. With that temptation, God offers us a way out. For every time we can say yes to temptation, God allows us to say no. And that's a nice thought. We're never tempted so much where we're forced into it. It's up to us to say no. Your last day on earth. If today's your last day, it's easier to say no to all that temptation, isn't it? Because you think, I'm not with tomorrow. Got to be ready. I can't give in to this temptation. James 1:12 thought, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Endure the temptation. Let's look at a couple of examples. We have examples of those who are definitely not living their life as if it were the last day on earth. Look in two passages here. Let's look at Luke 12:16-22. It's the parable of the rich fool. He spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to myself, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. He said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. So in verse 21, so he is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Easy to say, we spend a lot of time worrying about our situations here on earth. Think about it. We spend so much time, we're more worried about our retirement on earth than we are about our retirement in heaven. It's easy to get bogged down in it. We're worried about our finances, many things like that, our jobs, our grades in school. We spend a lot of time concerning ourselves with that, but that's not what is important. Getting to heaven, the situations when our life is over, that's what we need to concern ourselves with. Now let's look at Matthew 25:14-30. Now this is the parable of talents. And we usually have one certain application for this. We're going to look at another one. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. Likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained another 2. Received 1, went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh, and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. The Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went, and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye off, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So, we're often like that servant who hid his talent. Not necessarily with our abilities, singing or praying, things like that. The talent that we're given is this life and day. If each day we're given this talent, to make the most out of that day. But what do? Well, we're so worried about our jobs, so worried about our school, money, you know, maybe we're just so worried about what we're going to eat for our next meal that we hide our talent. We're not making the most out of our day when it's very true that, you know, today's all we've got. We're not even guaranteed to finish out this day, much less guaranteed the sun rises tomorrow. So, I want to end this lesson the same way we begin it, asking yourself these questions. Different question this time. Are you trying to get to heaven? Pretty obvious, right? To get to heaven, or are you trying to stay out of hell? Big difference. If you're trying to get to heaven, you're striving for it, doing everything you can to get there. But if your goal is just to stay out of hell, you're doing the bare minimum, often hiding a talent. You think God wants us to do the best we can or just do the bare minimum? God wants our best effort. If we're just trying to stay out of hell, it's not going to cut it. We've got to want to get to heaven. So on your last day on earth, are you going to change how you speak? When you talk, are you going to talk a little less? You're going to use some cleaner language in your life, you know? You're going to gossip a little less? Because the tongue can lose the battle for us all. James 3, 5 through 6 and 8, even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The tongue is a fire, a word of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. So on our last day on earth, we might be able to hold our tongues a little more, wouldn't we? Is it really that serious, the tongue? Oh, yeah. Matthew 12, 36 and 37, But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. We all like to talk, probably, at some point or another, about different things. But if we were to know that today was our last day on earth, we'd be a lot quieter. In Proverbs 15:1, it tells us, A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. When we are to talk, we've got to do our best to be kind. James 1:19, Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. heard the saying many times, you've got two ears, one mouth, you should listen twice as much as you speak. We like to often reverse that and speak twice as much as we listen. On your last day, James 1:21-22 tells us probably the flat out the best way to live each day as our last. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. Remember, our daily bread, with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. How much time do we have before we die? Revelation 12:12, therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. The devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Even the devil knows it's a short time. How much time is left on our lives? We are told that 77 years is the average. You're close to that average. Say you're 70. Well, you know that leaves you with, on average, about 7 years. Now, all of a sudden, that doesn't look that much time now, does it? What if we were told we've only got 2 years left on earth? Well, that's plenty of time to set ourselves right. Look how small 2 years looks. 2 years left to get things right. Is that the case? No. We've got 1 day to get things right. 1 Thessalonians 5:1-3. This first in the lesson. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And when they shall say, say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. There's a couple of verses after this. 4 and 6. These are some good verses. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness. We know we're not in the darkness. We know that we're supposed to expect all this. We're warned of it. So why aren't we already ready? Day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. By watching, that means knowing that tomorrow may not come. To approach life as each day is your last. Others as if it's the last time you're going to see them. Because you know, that just might be the last time you see them. 4:26, be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. I'm pretty sure many of you would feel the same way. Wouldn't it be horrible if you find out someone had died and the last thing you said to them was, I hate you. Something hateful like that. How would you like to know those are the last words you spoke to a person that died? You got to treat them like it's goodbye. Goodbye forever. When my dad died, one of the best comforts I had was, the last thing I said to him was, I don't think I've ever said anything hateful to him, but the last thing I said to him was good night. Be careful tomorrow. Don't regret the things you did. Regret the things you did not do. Sounds a little weird. Remember, make the most of your one and only talent, your life, this day. Now, I say this because you remember in the past, we can't change it. So we can't really regret those things. We can receive forgiveness for them. That'll make it a lot better. The things I am more likely to regret are the things I didn't do. The opportunities I didn't take. Opportunities we're given each day to go out and speak to other people about the Word. These doors open for us. But oftentimes we don't take them. The door will shut. And our talent is buried in the ground. Okay, once again, today's your last day on earth. What do you do? you have people to apologize to? Other people you need to say you're sorry to? Or do you have to ask forgiveness of someone else? Have you wronged them? Or do you have to forgive somebody else? They've asked for forgiveness from you, but you may not have given it to them. How much are you going to have to change your routine? Are you living as if you've got months and years from now and putting it off? I'll get better later. I'll clean up my life later. Once again, if you died today, you walk out that door, you're struck down, you go to heaven, or would you go to hell? Don't be like those five foolish virgins. They thought they were ready, Matthew 25. Don't be like the rich fool. He was so busy building those bigger barns in Luke 12. Don't be like Felix, who was waiting for a more convenient season in Acts 24. And don't be like that rich young ruler, not letting go of great possessions. There's nothing here on this earth for us. I've heard this saying a lot. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. In high school, you get a lot of motivational speakers, and they'll often say this. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. No, no, no. When you walk out that door, think this. Today is the last day of your earthly life. You will live in a much more important manner that way. Some people say, you can't live like each day is your last day. You'll never get anything done. So what? You get your bills done. You may not get your gardening done, but you're working on getting something done up in a much better place. Today, to where we are in our life. Have we got those 77 years? I've got supposedly about 57 more to go. But am I guaranteed those 57? I might get in a car wreck on the way home. No, we're not guaranteed those days. We have to live each day as it's our last. Or it is. The church can assist you in any way. If you aren't living as if each day is your last, we can receive forgiveness for those past sins. The church can assist you in any way. Come to the front as we stand and sing the selected song.